So, you know what the theme of the month is. Vanneke reminded us so beautifully earlier. And it goes in line with, obviously, with what I'm about to share this morning. But first, here's a clue. Not that one. Okay, there we go. There's a clue for you. Okay, for those that excelled in science, you might know which molecule we're talking about. Okay, I'm trying this one again. There we go. That's a close-up. What are we looking at there? Melting point 801 degrees Celsius. So that is not a block of ice. Okay. What are we talking about? Okay, yeah. For those that know the periodic table, what is that? Hey, okay. The salt in the shaker. What did Jesus say? He said in Matthew 5:13, he said, you. Look at your neighbor and say, you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Savor the flavor. If the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? What is the, who knows what the slogan is, the motto of Cerebus? Yeah, you see, everyone knows that actually. It's not something you think about every day, but it's there. Okay, salt, the reason you know that is because you use salt. Everyone's got salt in the house, hey? Now, Jesus said, we are the salt of the world. It should be a believer in every home. There should be faith all over the earth. Yeah, let's have a look. This morning, I want to have a quick look at some of the most important practical uses of salt and how we can draw a comparison to what the Lord wants us to be and to do in the earth. He said that we are the salt of the earth. Okay? It's not just a nice saying, but there's a purpose behind that. And what was salt used for? When Jesus said that, what were people thinking about? If he says, you're the salt, and they were thinking, okay, what is salt used for? So let's go and have a look at that, because we all know that saying, you're the light of the world, you're the salt of the earth, and it just rolls off our tongue, but we don't always give thought to what does that mean? What is Jesus meaning? What is he actually instructing us to be and to do? So a flavorant, i.e. salt, is defined as a substance that gives another substance flavor and alters, in fact, the characteristics of the solute. Okay, when you put salt on food, it actually changes some of the characteristics of the food. You don't see the salt grains on top of the food after you sprinkle it, and it kind of dissolves in, and it becomes part of that, and it actually changes the characteristics of that food very powerfully. Okay, uses for salt. Firstly, what I want to highlight is that it's used as a cleansing agent. Salt is used as a cleansing agent. Many people would scrub their floors with salt and things like that, a cleansing agent. And the comparison I want to draw is like that of Esther, where God calls us as believers to be a moral voice to the nations and to our nation. Who's going to stand up for what is right? Who's going to speak God's will and the truth into a situation if it is not the Christian, if it is not us who are the salt of the earth to do that? Even as salt practically is used as a cleansing agent, God wants us to be cleansing agents and redemptive agents in our world, and to be able to speak up against what is wrong, to be a moral voice. Think again, as I said, of Esther, who, when a decree was made to basically annihilate all the Jews in that time, Esther risked her life in entering the inner courts without being summoned by the king, at the risk of being put to death, being executed for that act. And by God's grace and ordination, the king lifted the golden scepter and allowed her to speak up. which eventually led to the saving of the Jewish people. And so she was that moral voice standing up against what was wrong. You can speak to Joe and Gary about amazing organizations operating in the world today, like Christian Concern and these kind of organizations that stand up for God's truth and for what is right in a world where so much is wrong and where legislation gets passed every day that is anti-biblical. And we need to stand up. I've signed many petitions before, online and otherwise. I've marched to Parliament before to stand for God's truth. And this is important. We can sit back and do nothing, but that's not going to accomplish anything. And we might think, oh, but what's one more name, what's one more face going to add to this campaign? It does make a difference. Very recently, the Christians stood up again when they wanted to promote pornographic channels, you know, on satellite and that kind of thing, and a demonic series that they were showing in prime time for all children to be able to see. And the Christians stood up, and the church had a voice, and they actually had to move that schedule, and they, you know, stopped that pornographic channel from coming on. It does make a difference. We need to stand up. The same way that we had to stand against where there was a move to actually put a recycling plant next to the church here. And then, you know, so you'll stand up for that. As neighbors, we all stood up and we petitioned that, and thankfully nothing has come this side. So, you know, we wrote many letters and everything. But in the same way, we've got to stand up for God's truth. You know, you might not think it's going to affect your life now, but let me tell you that every legislation that is anti-biblical will affect your life at some point or another. And God's going to hold us accountable. What did we do when we found out about that? Did we say anything? We have a voice. We've got a tongue for a reason. Right. Secondly, many microorganisms cannot live in an overly salty environment. Okay, those are now bad microorganisms. For this reason, salt is used to preserve food and was the best preservative before canning and refrigeration. Okay, what happened before people had fridges? They didn't always have fridges. You know, Jacob and Esau, they you know, Jacob didn't have some venison there in the fridge that he quickly microwaved while Esau was out hunting. Okay? They used salt to preserve food. All right. And I want to liken that to protection that God requires of us. We know this scripture so well, but it's so in line with what I'm trying to say here in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. My people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I'll hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. When the believers, when us as Christians pray for South Africa, the Lord's blessing rests on the whole country. If we don't pray, we will go down with the rest of the country. But if we pray, a blessing will accrue to the whole land. Okay, so we stand in a position of gatekeepers in our society. We stand on the walls. We are the watchmen. We need to pray. It's up to us whether our country enjoys God's protection or not. We might think it's not going that well in our country. It's not. How many of us are truly praying? But take away those that are faithfully praying, and I don't want to know what this country will look like. There are many that are faithfully praying for our country, and we enjoy that protection, God's protection, His blessing and His healing on our land, because believers are praying. Okay. We've got to be salt. We've got to be that protective agent in our land, even as salt was used to protect and preserve. Let's think of Abraham, who petitioned God for Sodom, and he reasoned with God. And God respected his reasoning. except even in the last, there weren't even 10 people that were righteous in that whole city. But God saved Lot. We need to stand up. It's up to us also to protect our land. Look at Luke 11, verse 21. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. Okay, we have been called as strong men in our families, spiritual strong men in our neighborhoods, our communities, and our towns. And when we take up that mandate and when we stand up and we pray and we fight in the spirit, the battle that is waging for the souls of the people around us, our goods, our treasures will then be at peace. What is valuable in our homes is the people. It's the people. And, you know, God has shown me that before. We have, you know, we've been broken into before when we lived in Tableview twice. People got into our home and they even moved furniture around and they were practically out of the house with some items which they left right there inside the house. The stuff couldn't get outside. I just saw the one thing was they got in through our bedroom window and went into the kitchen section. I don't know what they were looking for, but they were going to take some stuff. And one of the things they were going to take was probably the nicest looking thing in our house was a kettle. It was some like a cordless kettle, very fancy cordless kettle. Okay, silver and everything. And they had taken this kettle through the house then to where they had come in so they could go out with it. And then the kettle was on my bed. And they were going through the bedside drawers as well. And then I saw next, when we got to the house, it was the kettle. And next to the kettle was an envelope that was in my bedside drawer that said Pastor Tiens and whatever. And I think somehow the fear of God must have come on them. But they left the kettle right there. And twice our house was broken into and they didn't take anything. Okay. You know, when you stand up as a strong man, spiritual strong man in your home and in your community, then it draws the protection of God and the blessing of God. You know, we pray for our families, we pray for our spouses. And it was about 3 months after we got married that Charlene was in quite a bad car accident. And the car was totaled. It was like a City Golf, and it was like a pinball for a while between cars. It bounced off three different cars like that and spun around. And the car was completely wrecked, but Charlene didn't have a scratch on her. And it was also just before a Liberty weekend that we were going to facilitate. So I was still able to facilitate. I first obviously rushed to Charlene and just seeing that, you know, she was perfectly fine. Just so amazing how God, the things around us can fall away, but the true treasures, that which God wants us to pray for, that which we need to be strong in the spirit for, you know, God will protect that. The true treasure. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, then his goods are in peace. Third pointer. Unrefined sea salts, also commonly used as ingredients in bathing additives and cosmetic products. Stefan might know about these kind of things. No, because his wife deals with, not because he uses, that's not makeup on his face. He's just blushing now. It's, you can talk to Venora. She's got some products there. Bath salts and things like that. So the ladies will know about that. And just like that healing power, you know, just Radox, wash the day away kind of thing, you know, feel better. Healing. The healing properties of salt and the healing mandate that we have as believers. James 5 verse 15, the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. Right. So many times we've gone onto the street and there are really, when you start asking people, do you have any sickness in your body? Then you actually start realizing there's so many people walking around with sickness, with aches and pains and diseases, and we can go and heal them. You know, Jesus didn't just say pray for the sick, he actually said heal the sick. So we can go out there and some churches call it treasure hunting, where you just go out on the street and you just go and ask people if you can pray for them. The people are the treasure. You go and look for those people. And, God's ordained divine appointments, and you go up to people and you say, is there something I can pray for? That's happened to me once. I've prayed for many people before, but only once has someone come up to me. Where Charlene and I were walking on the beach trying to get Christian to come out quicker. He was still baby on board, and it was due date, and I wanted him to be born that day because it was my birthday as well. So that would have been an amazing birthday present, and you know, I could have kiddies parties for the rest of my life. So we went for a long walk, because I say walking helps, you know. So I'm like, come on, Charlie, you must walk faster, you know. And this guy comes up to us, you know, and he's super excited, was there at Bloberg, and he comes up to us and said, hey guys, you know, is there something I can pray for, you know? And it's like, yeah, just wanting the baby to come today, that's all. Otherwise, you know, we also serve the Lord and everything. You could see this guy was on fire, so that was quite awesome experience, and could just encourage him as well. Let him pray for us. Treasure hunting. James 5 verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Okay, healing. We're not doing this enough. How many times do we first run to the pharmacy or the doctor before we ask our friends in the church to pray for us that we may be healed? You know, it's just a reminder. Sometimes our faith takes a dip, and we just need to remind ourselves and encourage ourselves. Let's first seek prayer. You know, give God a chance. We obviously, God also works through medicine and doctors. I know so many doctors that serve the Lord so faithfully. God raises doctors up, and he blesses them in that way as well. They're also just broken healers, as they say. But how many times do we actually forget or neglect to first ask God to heal us supernaturally before we even have to go to the doctor? Especially if the finances are tight, I'm sure that's when we really start praying more before we go to the pharmacy. It's like, okay, man, I wish I had enough money to go and buy those painkillers, but now I might just pray for it, you know. Even if you have money, pray first. It's so much better. It saves you time as well. You might as well pray. Okay, God has given us that potential and that ability. He's given us his spirit. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in you. Really, what is a headache to God? Obviously, that's a topic for another day, but people receive different gifts of the Holy Spirit. Once you receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, different gifts, and there's gifts of healings, plural. So you might find some people specialize in, healing headaches, and others will specialize in back pain or abdominal things or, you know, different kinds of sicknesses. So seek those people out. That's why we need to get to know each other in the small group. So that you know, if you've got a headache, you're going to call this person in your small group to pray for you. And, you know, if you've got some other kind of muscular pain or something, you're going to call that person because they're kind of specializing in that. So, yeah, we need to get to know each other and the gifts. God has given each of us gifts. We need to use it. First problem is most of the time we don't use it. We're not praying for each other enough for healing. And it doesn't just have to wait till a Wednesday night. Okay, we need to get to know each other. We need to be part of each other's lives. We're a family. We're a community. We need to be salty. Amen. So, fourth point I want to highlight there is that they use salt to detach leeches. You got a leech on you, run for the Cerebos, and see how that leech grows legs and starts running. Okay, the leeches don't like salt, right? That's why you don't find them in the sea. But if you go swimming a number of dams around the Boerland, you'll come out and your legs will be covered with those little blood suckers. We had that experience in December there near the Cedarburg. It was a lovely dam, and we were like in there all afternoon. And when we came out, it's like just all over leeches. And those ones, they hang on for life, those ones between the toes. Ew, you can't get them out. Not very lekker. Okay. Now, I think the Catholic Church maybe took this sometimes a bit literally, and in some of their exorcism rituals, they actually use salt. They're throwing salt at people, but that's just going to burn the eyes. That's not really what I'm talking about. Acts 8, verse 5-7. Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Deliverance. Okay, there are demonic spirits that are operating in the world today, all over the place, and many people have actually influenced majorly by them or even possessed. And it's part of our job as salt to bring the message of the gospel and to pray and command those unclean spirits to leave and to speak deliverance over people. God wants us to do that. It's not just for then. Okay, salt was used for certain things then, but we are meant to be the salt of the earth. Okay, we see it in the Gospels. Jesus, he drove out demons. His disciples drove out demons. And he wants us to as well. Demons, there's more demons today probably than there was then. All right, so we need to be alert, we need to be vigilant, we need to be aware of these things, and we need to know our job and our place. Okay, our job is not just to sit back and enjoy the redemptive life. We need to go out there and be the difference. Chloride and sodium ions, they are the two major components of salt that are necessary for the survival of all known living creatures. Chloride and sodium are necessary for life. Okay, without those two elements, there cannot be life. They are vital in the process of life. And I want to liken this, obviously, to the message of the gospel, which is the only message that can bring true life and eternal life. The gospel is still today the power of God unto salvation for all who would believe. Let's look at Acts chapter 16. Such a powerful passage. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. And when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. And Paul and Silas, they were not just thinking of themselves. Otherwise, when the prison doors flung open, they would have run away and said, "Thank you, Lord, a miracle. God has answered our prayers, and you know, we've been set free miraculously. This is the will of God, you know, let's escape." And you know, we could have read that story in the Bible, and that would have been amazing. But this is even more amazing. The doors flung open and they stayed there. And they waited for that jailer so they could minister the gospel, they could minister life to him. Paul and Silas were salt in that place. They changed the characteristics of the people around them. That jailer and his household came to salvation. Salt is there for the purpose of the food. It's not just there to be in the salt shaker. We've got beautiful salt shakers, like we've got beautiful churches, but believers are not meant to just be sitting in beautiful churches, crystal palaces and whatever. No, we're meant to be seasoning the world around us. Salt is not meant for the shaker. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14, the love of Christ compels us. You see, the Great Commission is merely a logical outflow of the Great Commandment, which is to love God and to love people. So if we say we want to, our topic for our month is outflow, and that's where it's coming. It's the love that God has given us that we want to allow to flow out. You know, more often than not, we actually find ourselves in a sense hindering or blocking that flow, where we can just go out there and just let it flow. There's so many people that are hungry for the love of God. Many times they don't even know it. They're trying to fill that void with so many other things. Yesterday morning, we had the outreach in Groendal, and four of us went out and we visited many homes, and people came to salvation because we could share with them. But we want to grow in that capacity, just to be able to flow as a church, so we can flow in our community. As a church, there's enough people in this room to get Franschhoek saved in a couple of months. We can reach the whole town. Okay, it's between three mountains and La Motte. Okay, we know how many people are here. We know where we can go. We know who needs the Lord. Every one of us knows someone here that needs the Lord. And it's not always going to happen straight away, but we need to intentionally start reaching out to the people around us. Let's just remind ourselves. Let's make that a priority. Let's emphasize that, encourage one another in these coming weeks, that we'll just remember to let God's love flow through us. Let that outflow come. Amen. You see, the Lord, he said he saw the people, and they were like sheep that were scattered without a shepherd. It says he had compassion on them. Okay, we need to grow in that. That's the one thing that we can just ask God for more of, even more of his love, even more of his love. And that love, the love of Christ will compel us. When you got that love of God inside, you can't keep it bottled up. It's going to flow out. When the heart is full, the mouth overflows. You got to be able to share that. And so that we can just trust God to grow in that capacity. Even more love, more boldness to be able to share. What do we have to fear? Point six. Sodium chloride is the salt most responsible for the salinity of the ocean. Okay? Same salt that we have on our tables. That is the salt that gives the ocean its saltiness. I don't know if you've ever drunk sea water before. A bit salty, not very nice. Okay? But some people believe that it's quite healthy, and they drink it by the glassful. But yes, the sea is salty. Habakkuk 2 verse 14 says, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Okay, the sea comprises, what, two-thirds of the earth's surface? It's covered with sea, saltiness. Now God said, Jesus said that we are the salt of the earth. Okay? And here's a scripture that would just tie in with that he wants our saltiness to cover the whole earth, so that even as the sea is salty, as the waters cover the sea, so the earth will be salty as well, that we would influence and impact every area of this earth, every people group. We saw that video clip, that very moving clip in the beginning of the message, and there's so many 7,000 some unreached people groups in the world, a third of the world's population, 2 billion people that haven't heard the gospel yet. There's a big job still at hand. There's no reason for any Christian to be bored or think that he's got nothing to do. If that thought enters your mind, then just get up, go into town and start preaching the gospel to someone. You're going to find someone that hasn't heard about Jesus yet, or at least doesn't have a personal relationship with him. Okay. And so, you know, that video clip was about missionaries and missionaries going into unreached places and many times at the risk of their lives. Even the Bible is banned in something like 52 countries. All right, so what I want to convey to us this morning is that each of us is a missionary. And we've got a mission field right here. I mean, yesterday, going from house to house, and Johnny and myself, we visited 3 homes, and we were able to speak to everyone in those homes. We got the whole family around, and not one of them were in a personal relationship with the Lord. In the 3 homes that we visited, not one person was in a personal relationship with the Lord. So, I mean, I would defy you to visit 3 homes in town, just 3 random homes of people you don't know, where you would find all 3 homes are filled with believers. More than likely, you will stumble across 3 homes that don't have any believers in them. And that's in our town. There's a lot of work to be done. This is a mission field out here. And each of us are called to the Great Commission. So let's flow out. Let us take up that mandate. Charity starts at home. Okay, we've got to have a vision for the whole earth, but we need to start exercising it here. Think global, act local. Okay, local is lekker. Okay, something like that. Matthew 5, verse 16. That they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. When we're out there, when David and Sanetta are out there with Prochorus, and I've experienced it as well in my time with Prochorus, when the people see you doing good things, they give glory to God the Father, and that is so awesome. I don't want people to thank me. I want them to thank the Lord. And it was so great when we did that in Stellenbosch. I remember there so many times. It was supernatural. It was just because it's the truth. The Bible says it, and that is what you see happening. You go and help people. You help people when their homes are burning down. You help people with food. You help people with employment, all these kind of things. And they immediately, their first response, in my experience, was each time they first praised God. They said, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And that is so awesome. And so even when we are salt and when we're out there, we're not stuck in the shaker, but we're out there and we're just loving people, which means we're sharing the truth with them, we're praying for them, we're blessing them in some way, we're helping them, they give glory to the Father. And that's what we want to see. The glory of God covering the whole earth. But if it's going to cover the whole earth, and it will, because that's what the scripture says, the glory of the Lord will fill the earth as the waters cover the seas. Okay, that means we need to get out there and do God's work. We need to go out there and be Jesus to the people. He preached the message of the kingdom and he helped people. He healed them. He set them free. He did good things. He fed them. We need to go out there and do that. It was quite amazing, the response in 2007 when there was the xenophobic attacks, and there was a lot of it happening in the Cape area, on the flats, Dunoon, all over there. And the first people to the rescue of the foreigners was the churches. The churches just opened up and they took the people in. The people could come and stay there and they fed them. And it was amazing to see how that sparked help from other organizations. But the church was first on the scene. The church is involved. The church knows what's happening out there, and the church is ready to help. And that was so encouraging to see, so that we, there, it was just a real example of how the church was the salt at that time, and how the church helped to promote the glory of God and His work. So the primary key that we need to be the salt, to go out there and to season the world around us, a primary ingredient that we need is God's love. He has already given us His love to fulfill this mandate. Romans 5 verse 5 says, "The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that was given to us." We see in the book of Acts, before Peter would go out on a mission or go out and preach, every time it says the believers came together and they prayed, and then it says, and then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, went out, preached the word. So there's this place where we need to get topped up with God's love. We need our love tanks filled up with the love of God. Maybe I don't have a compassion, I don't have a heart for the lost. And it's just an indication, I need to pray, I need to get more of God's love in me. I need to be filled up more with the Holy Spirit and the love of God. Because it's that love that will compel me, it's that love that will motivate me to go out there. There's no stronger or more powerful motivation in a man's heart than the love of God. With the love of God in your heart, there's nothing you won't do. You'll die for someone that you don't even know. The love of God in our hearts, we need more of that. We need to be filled up. We need to be topped up with the Holy Spirit on a continual basis, even as we see in the Scriptures. We need to do that. I'd like us to stand this morning, please. I just want to pray for us. And I want to challenge us as well. I want us to take up that challenge. Even as we put the focus and the emphasis on that in this month, that we will seek opportunities, that we'll be prayerful and intentional around reaching out to people around us. That we would think, I mean, we've handed out many times before, we don't really have to print you cards for that. You can put it on your cell phone, set a reminder, or you can make your own nice little card with little flowers and stuff. I'm not very creative. Do what you want to do, little hearts everywhere. But write down, maybe write down three names, just three names for the next 3 weeks that you're going to pray for these people, and you're going to seek an opportunity to do something good to those people. And if that can include sharing a testimony or the gospel with them, then awesome, that'll be tops. But even if you just do something good, you share, you just bless those people, and they'll give glory to God the Father. It will bring them closer. They'll see the love, because love is not just a warm, fuzzy feeling. It can be that as well. That can accompany it, but it is a choice that leads to an action on behalf of someone else. Love is a choice that leads to an action. So when you go out and you go and wash an old lady's car or something like that, she's going to give glory to God the Father. She's going to say, why on earth would someone come up to, come here and do this for me? Or you go and help someone do something, God will show you what to do. Maybe there's someone at work that's, you know, and you see, well, their lunchbox, you know, looks very sparse or whatever. That's not even a word. their lunchbox looks quite empty every day at work, and you've got an extra, you bring an extra sami that day and you share it with this guy. I mean, trust me, it's going to make a difference. You pray, you ask God what to do, but I want to challenge you to ask God for three names, just three people that you can pray for the next 3 weeks, that you can then ask God what He wants you to do for those people. Some good deed, some prayer, some sharing with them, doesn't matter what, God will lead you. It's going to bring glory to God. It's going to bring that person closer to Jesus. We are not always there at the time of reaping, at harvest time, when the person actually gives their life to the Lord. But every person that has done something for that person, every person that has shared with that person, is a vital link in the chain that leads that person to the Lord. The harvest is plentiful. There's a huge harvest, even as we said here in Franschhoek, but the workers are few. Okay, it's time that the church puts up its hands, that we all realize we've all received that mandate, which means we're all going to give an answer. God's going to say, okay, great commission. What did you do about it? We want to be good and faithful servants. Amen. So I just want to encourage you guys. You can't do it by yourself. God doesn't expect you to. But what we can do is we can ask God to start helping us. We can ask Him to give us more of His love that we can share with others. And God will just release you. You'll see it. A release will come. And just more and more, you'll get opportunities and you'll start using those opportunities and it'll become easier. I know it's sometimes difficult to share with someone or to reach out. But that's when we try and do it in our own strength. And you know, another thing is Jesus, when He sent His disciples out, He sent them out two by two. So, just in addition to that challenge of praying for three people, why don't you ask someone else on the day that you want to now maybe share with that person or do something for them, why don't you ask someone else, another friend in church or in your small group, hey, please just agree with me in prayer. Today, I'm going to go and, you know, bless this person that I've been praying for. So that you go two by two, or won't you come with me? I want to go and visit this person that I've been praying for 3 weeks. Won't you come with me and visit them? That's quite biblical, and it makes it so much easier. I mean, I would have been quite intimidated yesterday if I had to go on my own to all of these houses yesterday where we went, but because it was me and Johnny, it was so easy. We can just walk in. Half the people know Johnny, but you just walk in the streets there, and hello, hello, hello. And it's just for some people it's easier to say, hey, you know, to a stranger, can I come in? It's amazing. People let you into their homes early on a Saturday morning. They're still in nightgowns or whatever. Okay, some of them are already, you know, having some beer or something, but people will invite you in. It is amazing. Okay, and we need to use these opportunities. There's a harvest that is ready. Their doors are open and they'll welcome you in and they'll sit and they'll listen to the whole gospel. You know, and lights start switching on. It's amazing. It's amazing. We had people giving their hearts to Jesus yesterday morning in their homes. Divine appointments. There's nothing more amazing than that. Okay, and you can be part of that. It can happen. God can use you in that way. Right, so you don't have to go alone. No one's asking you to go alone, and no one's asking you to do it in your own strength. But God is asking us to partner with Him in the harvest. He's the Lord of the harvest. He's asking us to co-labor with Him. Amen? So let's pray. Father, I just want to thank You this morning for the opportunity, Lord, to share and just encourage from Your word, Father. Thank You, Lord God, that You've made us part of this awesome plan of salvation for the whole world, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that we can say, Lord, that we only love You because You loved us first, Lord. We are no better than any unbeliever, Lord God. At one point, we were also unbelievers, lost in our sin. But, Lord God, now You have made us part of the answer, and You've given us a voice. We can share about what You have done for us, because what You have done for us, You want to do for others. But You want us to be part of that. You want us to learn how to love. You want us to learn how You loved, Lord God, and gave Your life as a ransom for many. Lord, You demonstrated Your own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, You died for us. Lord God, You're not asking any of us to die for someone else today. But Lord, You're asking us to share with people what You have done. We have the answer. Lord God, I pray, Lord, that we will grow confident by Your grace, confident in the power of the gospel. The gospel is still powerful today. People are still getting saved today when they hear the gospel, Lord. We have that knowledge. We can share that with them. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You will just dawn that, reveal to each of us, Lord God, that we are, each of us is a missionary for You. Each of us is a minister of reconciliation. Each of us is an ambassador for Christ. Lord, we're living in a land where there's a lot of people that are not serving You, Lord. People, and the wool has been pulled over their eyes, they think they're okay. They think because they've heard about You, Lord, that they will be fine. or they think, Lord, that all roads lead to heaven. Lord God, people are deceived, but we have the answer. Lord, help us to go out in humility and just share your love with people out of a place of caring, out of a place of compassion. When people recognize the love in our hearts, then they listen. So Lord, we pray this morning above all that you'll just come and fill our hearts more and more with your love, because it's your love that will compel us, Lord. We want to see the world saved. We want all our family and our friends to be with us in heaven one day. Lord, you've given everyone a choice. As believers, you've given us a choice whether we want to share with others or not. It's not going to happen automatically. We need to be deliberate about it. We need to be prayerful about it. Lord, I thank you for each one in this congregation, Lord God. Each one here has a testimony. Each one here has a story to share about how you've touched their lives and how you've brought about change. Lord, I pray, Lord God, for just a prompting and an utterance, Lord God, just a boldness, a renewed boldness to be able to share that with others in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I just want to invite anyone that has any prayer needs, please come to the front, especially if right now you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. I'd love to pray with you for that. God bless you. Enjoy your day.